Last week we talked about bittul, principally of min b'she'ein o'mino, of types which are dissimilar, and therefore the operative principle is that one needs bittul b'shishim, that you need 60 times as much of what's permissible, the heter, as the iser, or what's forbidden. I wanted to look at two things this week. First of all, min b'mino, when you have the same types, and that's really where bittul b'roiv, being bottle, because there's a majority which is mutter, becomes operative. And then a little bit on the interplay between min b'mino and min b'she'ein o'mino. A little bit. Let's start off with the simplest of the halachas. If I have two things which are similar, first we'll start with the simplest case and then we'll draw it a little bit more sharply. We'll go back to our simple case. I have two hamburgers and buns on the table. The custodian comes and puts down his hamburger and buns, and you know how it is today. All the restaurants are using bags for seconds, and you go into every kosher place in the world, every camp, every yeshiva, and you have boxes and bags from every trade establishment in the whole United States. So there you are. You have three bags from McDonald's on the table or whatever, from some burger places, and you have no idea which is which. Two of them are kosher, and one is not. You open them up, the bun is the same, looks the same, smells the same. You have no idea. What do you have? So now what do you do? Well, you have the power of a cheeseburger. It took care of that problem too. You don't know. So what's the halacha? So I have two kosher hamburgers and one tray for hamburger. So we have a halacha of chad b'tray bottle. So therefore, I am certainly allowed to eat two hamburgers. That's for sure. Everyone agrees to that. If I can eat the third hamburger, that is a question. But two I'm certainly allowed to eat. And we have a principle, Acharei Rabim Lahatis. If I have a question of doubt, so the halacha is, I follow the majority. Two out of the three are kosher, so I'm allowed to eat. Now, one of the issues that has arisen when we say the language of the Shas and the Shulchan Aruch is chad b'tray bottle, meaning that there's one part which is osur and two parts which are mutter. So do I actually need twice as much heter as isur? Just as by shishim I need 60 times as much heter as isur? Or not? So the Gro paskens is that I do not have to have twice as much. As long as I have a little bit more heter than isur, it's mutter. He says the reason is because the basis of this type of bittul comes from the pasuk of Acharei Rabim Lahatos. We follow majority rules. And Acharei Rabim Lahatos does not say that you have to have a 2-to-1 majority. If you have a 51-49 majority, it's also a majority. Majority rules. So consequently, the Goyim says that it's really a misnomer, chad b'tray. What it is there has to be more heter than iser, then it becomes permissible. Now, how does this affect min b'she'? Now we're dealing, what's unique about this? When we're talking about chad b'tray bottle, we're talking about things which are dry. Dry items which are just confused. They're mixed together, and I don't know which the heter is and which the iser is. They haven't been cooked together. There's been no transference of flavor from that which is osur to that which is mutter. The problem is, I just don't know which the mutter is and which the osur is. Now, from that standpoint, what should change if I took min b'she'ein o'mino? If I took min b'she'ein o'mino, and I also didn't know, for whatever reason, they were so doctored that by this point, that I don't know which is which. Mere examination, it's impossible to tell. But they are different types. So I don't know. Why you also say chad betray bottle? In other words, listen, I had two hamburgers which were kosher, and I had one hamburger made from chaza, which was treif. So it's a different flavor, etc. It's a different taste than the other one. But I still don't know. Upon examination from the outside, I cannot tell which is which. So do I use the principle that chad betray is bottle, and that I could eat two of the hamburgers on it? Now, according to what we've said until...
What happens if you start tasting it? It's a little funny.
So then you throw it out. Okay, then you would identify it. But let's say it's a situation that you may not necessarily always be able to identify. Not every ain of amino can you actually pin down. Maybe a professional cook, you know, will grab it. But a regular person may not exactly know the difference. But they are different. Now, according to the logic that we've used until now, which should still be true, by min b'sheino mino, so of course, v'achari rabim lahatas, most of what's here is kosher. The minority is non-kosher. So if that's the case, everything should be mutter. So the theory is sound. However, and there are those that hold that way, but there are more paskins that was supposed to be machmer. By min b'sheino mino, we don't invoke the principle of bittul b'roif. The question is, why not? The logic is sound. So the Shach explains, there are other reasons for it, but the Shach explains that the most reason is that we're concerned what will happen if the person errs and now cooks all three of these things together, puts them into one pot and cooks all of them together now. Now what will happen? Now we're no longer in chad betray. Now the flavors of all the things mixed together. So now I have the flavor of the non-kosher is now penetrated and entered the kosher. So now what do I need to be mevatalit? Now I need shishim. So the Ramah says the rule is that if you might make a mistake and cook them, and it would be awesome in the raisa, till you have shishim, then even if you haven't cooked them yet, because you may come to cook them if you think everything is kosher, it's kosher, why not cook them together? Therefore, we require shishim. And we don't say chad betray bottle by min b'sheino mino. So the Shach...
Would that make a difference whether it was cooked or uncooked?
No, it makes no difference. No, it would make no difference. Because even if it's cooked, I may come to rewarm them together. No. That's when the major difference is, sure. Because the kolzman, they're not cooked together, you should say with the rice, you say chad betray bottle.
Right. Even min b'mino, once it's cooked together, would also be.
No, it would.
It would be us.
That's only for a different reason. We'll see in a second. Now, what happens, what would happen if I took the three hamburgers, two are kosher, one's nevela, and I cooked them together? What's the difference? Big machmer. Maybe he's right, but it's still a big machmer. So the halacha is that we said last week that by min b'mino, midrais it's bottle b'roif. And therefore there's one tray for hamburger and two kosher hamburgers. Everything's kosher. Minatar. The rabbanim were machmer because they were afraid of confusion from similar types to dissimilar types that you need shishim. But that's only an issur d'rabbanan. Midrais, everything's fine. Nothing changed. So the Shach says, I want to ask you a question. He says, suppose that the Issa that we have is not an Issa. So if now we dealt with Nevela until now, we have kosher meat and Nevela meat, right? It means the Sheikh had messed up the Shechita, wasn't a good Shechita, and it's Nevela. So that's an Issa Midaraisa. Suppose the problem is that it's only Osa Midarabana. It's not Osa Minatara. This particular Issa. It's a Chela, which is Osa Midarabana, whatever, but it's an Issa Midarabana. It's not an Issa Midaraisa. Then what will the din be? What happens now if I have again? So I have an Issa d'Rabbanan. I have an Issa d'Rabbanan, and I have most of it is mutter, and a minority is osur. Right. So you would say, well, it's bottle b'roif. Right? You follow majority. But we just said, the Ramah said, by min b'she'enom, you know, by dissimilar types, that even though we should be derive out the principle of botel b'roiv, but we invoke, we still say you need shishim, why? Because we're afraid you're going to cook it, it's going to become awesome. So the Shach says, now tell me, he says, all fine and dandy, but by min b'mino, you don't say that, right? Why don't you say it by min b'mino, we're afraid you're going to cook it? Because if you cook it, it's going to only be awesome with the Rabbanon, not Minatara. So we didn't make an additional gzera to say, well, it's really mutter. And you may make a mistake and cook it, and now it's going to become awesome, awesome. But awesome with the Rabbanon, so we didn't make a new gzera. So the Shach says, what happens if I have min b'she'enom mino? So with the rice is bottle. Now if I cook it, and there's not shishim, what's going to happen? Let's say it's an isa de Rabbanon. So it's also mid Rabbanon. So why is min b'she'eino mino different than min b'mino? In both cases I come to an isa de Rabbanon. And you told me that if I had exactly the same type, my min b'mino, there were two of kosher meat and one of nevela, that it's mutter. Maybe I'll make a mistake and I'll cook it. That'll only be an isa mid Rabbanon. So we didn't ban now the chad betray just because you may make a mistake which will lead you to an isa de Rabbanon. So min b'she'eino mino by an isa de Rabbanon. If I cooked it, I also come to an isa de Rabbanon. Because the types, because it was bottled.
Yeah, but the Rabbanon is the same because of
but here there's no isa de rice in this case. And you see when there's no isa de rice that I didn't make exer. Why? Because you see by min b'mino, they didn't say it's also because of eino mino. They said, listen, judge it on its own merits. The worst that I can mess I can get myself into was an isa de Rabbanon. So it's mutter.
Yeah, but if you do make it mutter in this case, the person may make you confused. I think in another case where it's an isa de Rabbanon.
Well, maybe you could say the same thing by min b'mino. They could also. Why did we say altogether that min b'mino needs shishim? For this same reason, because we're afraid that a person, if I say that min b'mino, if two types are the same, if I cook nevela and kosher together, and I don't demand shishim, that if I cook milk and meat together, people will think you don't need shishim either. Right? That's why it's...
That's a different...
But we're still afraid. You're telling me that's the crossover effect, that they'll confuse min b'mino and min b'she'eino mino. So good, but you're telling me you go from one to the other? But here you see my min b'mino, and it made no such gzera. So the Shach paskins that by an isa de Rabbanon, chad betray is botel even min b'she'eino mino. Goodbye. The Gro and many others disagree with the Shach, or Shulchan, the Gro, and they say we're concerned, we cannot build a world on such expertise. To assume that everyone's going to master all the nuances of the halacha, you know, this is an isa de Raisa, this is an isa de Rabbanon, and Ramela, this one needs shishim, this doesn't need shishim. We can't make the halacha so complex. Neither the halacha cannot be made so complex. It's complex enough as it is. If we start to fine-tune it too much, we're going to blow everybody away. Because we learn from precedent. Some guy will come to shul, yeah, I had a case, there were two different types, and the rabbi said it's mutter. So the next guy will decide it's mutter too. And they won't realize, well, this one is an isa de raisa, this one is an isa de rabbanon. To know what's an isa de raisa and what's an isa de rabbanon, you have to be a very learned person. To know in each isa, what's only awesome, what's more awesome with the raisa, and what's only awesome with the rabbanon. The classic case, what happens if you take a piece of meat, and it's unsalted, and you cook it? What's the din? It's awesome, yeah. No, we say a person eats treif, right? It's unsalted meat in his house. He eats treif. So the Chazon Ish used to say, what's the Iser? It's only us, Dan Shabishlo is only us with the Rabbanon. So he used to say, we should realize that seriously we take Iser with the Rabbanon. He'll tell you the neighbor cooks his meat uncooked. He'll run away like he has Chazon in his house. Only awesome with the Rabbanon. So I made my point that what's awesome with the rice and what's awesome with the Rabbanon is hard to know. And if you take, you put butter on the chicken, and you make a roast chicken with butter, what's the din? Right? It's basar v'chalav. It's a machlokas tanoim. We paskin, it's only asim b'derabbanan, but there's a machlokas tanoim. One tana holds it's asim b'natak. We paskin, it's b'derabbanan. And there are all types of differences, lahalacha and basar v'chalav, because it's only asim b'derabbanan. So therefore, the halacha principally follows the view that by min b'she'ein omino, if there are two dissimilar types, we don't use the principle of chad betrayed both of them. We don't follow the majority. Even though there's a majority, the major portion is kosher, and only the minor portion is non-kosher, it's treif. We don't use it. That's principally the halacha. The Aruch HaShulchan adds, though, if it's b'mokum hefsid, if there's a significant hefsid that's involved, then we can follow the view of the Mekilim, that it doesn't apply to any Siddur Rabbanah. So it's a measured psak, but the halacha takes a very, very cautious stand. If it's an Issa D'Raisa, everybody agrees that it's awesome. That's it.
Is there a measurement to hefsid, any amount of force?
Hefsid, we're talking which is significant to a person, but that's very personal. You know, every person's significant loss varies according to his economic standing. Now, I once went to the office of a man in Johannesburg, and this man owned the largest rice importing company in South Africa. And he was... his ethic was to give 18% of his income to stock every year. And he told me that inevitably he goes past that. Because he usually winds up miscalculating. And by the time November rolls around, he hasn't allocated money for the last 6 to 8 weeks of the year. In his initial outlay at the beginning of the year. Because more people came than he expected. So, but I won't send anyone away empty-handed. So I keep adding to it to cover the last 2 months of the year too. But his initial ethic was to give 18% of his income to stock. So I'm sitting with him in his office, and this is a man, he would come from a traditional background, but he is already, by the time I met up with him, you would say he's a Baal Tshuva. No longer went to Shul Shabbos. I said, why? He said, Rabbi, when I bought a house in suburbia many years ago. I used to drive to Shul, but now I learned you're not supposed to drive to Shul Shabbos, so I stay home Shabbos. The weekdays, I had a minyan for mincha in his office. So he was concerned with making the kitchen kosher. In his office, he realized that the pastor was used. He didn't know what he was doing. Well, so he asked me how you do, you know, all varied things. So I told him the stove is hard to kasher. He says, but it costs a lot of money. So I have to figure out a way to do it. So he looks at me. He says, what's a lot of money? He says, it's 200 rand, you know, $300. Big deal. We'll throw it out and get another one. You know, if you own the largest rice importing company in South Africa, you know, $300, listen, throw it out and buy another one. What's the problem? It's not a hefsid. I mean, I walked into his office. I was the third person to see him put stock in that day, and I went out with a check for $500. So, you know, $300 is easy enough. But it depends. It's very dependent on what a person's economic standing is. Now, let's go back to chad betrayed. I want to examine chad betrayed. I have two kosher hamburgers and one tray for hamburgers sitting on the table. So the shaila is, where do I go from here? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's mutter. What's mutter though? And as the Jews would have it, we have four different views of what's mutter. You can't even have two views. We have four different views of what's mutter. And three of them, principally, there are two different definitions of what's operative, the operative principles, and which run the following. One sheet is that one person can eat all three, but you can't eat all three in one shot. In other words, you can't put all three hamburgers into one sandwich and eat them all in one shot. That you can't do. I can eat one hamburger, eat another hamburger, eat a third hamburger. The second view says, and then we'll stop to analyze these two views, that one person can't eat all three. I can eat two, and Ronnie can eat one. Ronnie can eat two, and I can eat one. But I can't eat all three. Now, what's the rationale? Let's go in reverse. The rationale for the last view is very simple. The Gemara says, in Ksuvus, for example, there was a road, and the road had a grave, which was lost. Grave got lost. Nobody knows. Now the question is, as the fog of history descends, and now it became a question, is it on road A or road B? We don't know which one it is. So the halacha is, two kohanim go, one walks down road A, one walks down road B, and each one goes to ask the Rav Shaila, did he become tamei or not? So we pass it, and you come to the same Rav. As long as they, if they didn't arrive simultaneously, the Rav can say, you're Tor and your Tor. Each one of you has a chazaka, we follow the chazaka. It cannot be, it's physically impossible, it's irrelevant. The world of halacha has its own facts. We don't say, well, one of you is definitely tamei, we don't know which one, so you're both tamei. They're both Tor. Suppose one guy goes down road A, and tomorrow he goes down road B. He's tamei. Why? Because he definitely went over a grave. I don't know if he went over the grave yesterday, he went over the grave today, but he went over the grave. Now, if one guy eats all three hamburgers, what can I say? He definitely ate treif. I don't know if it's hamburger one, hamburger two, or hamburger three, but he ate treif. Treif he ate. That's without any doubt. So the guy ate treif. That I know. So that's the second view. One guy can't eat all three. Now we're going to come back. There's another point yet which lurks behind this. The first view says, I can eat all three. Why? Because I'm not eating all three simultaneously. So now, I ate a hamburger. Now which hamburger did I eat? Kosher one or the treif one? What? Wait, we'll go slowly. The first, what did I eat now? So we seem, listen. So everything is a 2 out of 3. So, right? So each one that I pick up to eat, I say, this is probably a kosher one, because 2 out of 3 are kosher. Achari rabim lahatim. So I eat the first one. Now I pick up the second one, and I ask you, well, what's the story of the second one? Was it kosher or not kosher? The odds are still the same. It's 1 out of 3. It didn't change. It's right, 2 out of 3 were kosher. So 2 out of 3 possibilities, hamburger number 2 is kosher. So I now ate hamburger number 2. Now I'm hungry, I pick up a hamburger number 3. What are the odds now? Let's calculate the odds on hamburger number 3. Still 2 out of 3 that it's kosher. So what are we now? If you tell me that 2 out of 3 in hamburger 3 is kosher, so what does that mean? That I ate treif on either hamburger 1 or hamburger 2, right? But that happened already. That's past. That's history. You can't cry over spilled milk. It happened already. So right now, the hamburger that I want to eat, you're telling me 2 out of 3 chances it's kosher. So it's true. The implication of this hamburger being kosher is that either 2 or 1 was non-kosher. Okay. So therefore, so you're telling me, well, it must be that I ate a non-kosher one. Okay. So maybe I did. The halacha gave me a heter, but it happened to be I ate a non-kosher one. So therefore what? That happened already. So therefore, why shouldn't I eat number 3? Each time I picked up a hamburger, you told me, listen, you're a mathematician, took statistics, you know, the odds are 2 out of 3, it's kosher, so I eat. Then I ask a rabbi, hamburger number 2, still 2 out of 3, it's kosher. Good. Now I come to the third one. So good. So you tell me, well, it must be that we made some mistake in either number 1 or number 2. That's what the odds tell us. Okay, so what am I, so therefore I shouldn't eat 3? 3 is kosher. So which one was non-kosher? 1 or 2? That happened already. I'm not eating that anymore. If I put them all together, all 3 together, so in one bite, I'm definitely eating treif. I can't say, well, right now I'm eating treif, so I can't do it. But here the odds tell me that I ate the treif before. I'm eating kosher now. So it happened already. It's over. What do you want? Masha haya. It's gone. It's history. It's nothing to do with my eating this third hamburger. The third hamburger is fine. Right, the second one says that since by if I intend to eat three, inevitably I will violate an Issa. In other words, I can't do something which is an inevitable violation of the Issa. And to eat all three is an inevitable violation of the Issa. Now, both of these make a very interesting assumption. That even after I have two koshers and one treif, the treif is still treif. The kosher is kosher. In other words, when we deal with bittul b'shishim, and here's really the essence of the difference of the share of last week and the share of this week. The essence of the difference is the following. By bittul b'shishim, I had a little bit of milk, and it fell into a big pot of chicken soup. And it was definitely, it was 100 times as much chicken soup as milk. Now, can I eat the entire pot of chicken soup from the beginning until the end? Wait a second, there's milk in there somewhere. So what's happening? How can I eat the whole pot of chicken soup? Right? There's milk in the chicken soup. Spilled in an ounce of milk. There's 100 ounces of soup. Right? It's 8.5 quarts of soup. And I spilled in an ounce of milk by mistake. I meant to put it into the milchika pot, and I pour it into the fleishika pot. Pre-measured, 1 ounce in a shot glass, and I needed it for a milchika recipe. I rushed and I dumped it in. I dumped the milk with my own hands into the chicken soup. 8.5 quarts of chicken soup. So I'm definitely, I ate all 8 quarts of chicken soup. So did I eat, is there milk in that chicken? Yeah. So why can I eat all of it? It's the reason. What? Right? Oh, Bittel says that the Iser lost its status. It's bottle. That means it has no longer has any significance. That's it. It's not here anymore. There's no Iser here.
You can't say that bottle
went there. There's no Iser. The Iser went poof. Since it's bottle, since you cannot taste it, it's bottle of the shisha, goodbye, it disappeared. I put it into my machine, started Iser, went through the machine, the Iser disappeared. Now it's mutter. That's bittul b'shishim. Chai betray bottle only says that I have the right to play the odds. Ahari rabin lahatas, majority rules. I pick up the first hamburger and I say, Rabbi, what's the story? Can I eat this hamburger or not? Ahari rabin lahatas, mutter. So what do we say? I'm saying that this is one of the two kosher hamburgers. I pick up the second one. It's also one of the two kosher, but we admit that there's one tray for hamburger here. Both of these views admit to that fact. That's why nobody allows me to take all three and put them together and eat them in one sandwich. The question is, can I eat them b'zach, is that one after the other? Or even that I can't do. Because inevitably, by undertaking to eat all three, I'm eating treif.
I understand. Why is it still one out of three on the second one?
Because nothing changed. Ah, good. There were three here initially. I don't know. What do I know? The fact that I know there were three here. There were three hamburgers. No, it's very simple. There were three hamburgers. If you had 2 pennies and a nickel, and you put them together, right, in a little envelopes, and each time you pick them, what are the odds of taking a penny? And each time that you pick, 2 out of 3. Same thing here. Each time of picking up a hamburger, the odds are 2 out of 3 that this is a kosher hamburger. It doesn't change just because I ate one hamburger. It comes from a group of 2 out of 3, so it's still 2 out of 3. 2 out of 3 chances, this is a kosher one. Nothing changed. I didn't identify the first one as vade kosher. I don't know, therefore, I don't know any more that it was kosher than the ones that I didn't eat.
So you always remain with...
The odds always remain 2 out of 3.
You always have 3.
Right? Yeah, remain. The odds are always 2 out of 3. So the treif is here, this treif. Except that each one that I pick up, I could say that it's kosher. But I have to acknowledge that it's treif here. So that imposes some limitation. Whether the limitation is that I can't eat all three simultaneously, or whether the limitation is that I can't eat all three altogether. That is a third version yet of this shita. Now the third version states the following. That I'm supposed to take one hamburger and either throw it in the garbage or give it to a guy. Only 2 of these hamburgers should be consumed by a Jew. Now the question is, what's the reason for this? Let's go back to Shita 2. If I eat two and Ronnie eats one, did anybody bother eat Trefa? Did I bother eat Trefa? Did you bother eat Trefa? Good, but listen. They don't bring the two of us, the two of us are not one Bria. We don't stand before the Rabbanu Shalom in judgment jointly. Right? I stand in judgment before the Rabbanu Shalom. I ask the Rabbanu Shalom, did I eat Trefa? No, can't tell me that I ate Trefa. I followed the halakha and said it's kosher. Ronnie will tell me. You also ate kosher, that's it. I trafe disappeared, so what? Nobody definitely ate trafe. All we so far that we said is that one, we don't want the situation, according to the second view, that one person ate trafe. Or, at least you shouldn't eat trafe simultaneously. So the third view now added another step. And that is, that we don't want a Jew to definitely consume trafe. So now, if I eat two and Ronnie eats one, one of them was treif. So we know that a yid ate treif. That we know. Which yid? We don't know which yid it is. Now, you have your own, you're not bound by my psak, I'm not bound by your psak. We don't put us collectively together. Each person has to be judged on his own. It's a very common notion in the halacha. I asked Rabbi Yoshua Shlita the following question. If you order the New York Times in New York City, right, and you have 7 days a week, you ordered it for. There is some relationship between the number of papers ordered and the number of papers that the New York Times prints. Right? They print a lot more than they need, but there's a relationship. They don't, it's not just at random. So suppose there are 50,000 from Jews in the city of New York that buy a subscription to the New York Times. So if none of us would order on Shabbos, they would print 50,000 less papers. So if you put all of us together, because of the fact that we're all ordering, subscribing to the paper, they're printing more papers. So was that considered that because of us, they're printing more paper shops? So he told me no. Why? Because each person is judged on his own. I have nothing to do with you. Is what I'm doing, my act, is that are they printing another paper for me or not? The fact that myself, together with 50,000 other people, because of that, they're printing more papers. That has nothing to do with me. Each person stands on his own. Is my act creating the situation of they're printing more papers? The answer is no. I asked, in fact, I know a fellow was a vice president in the New York Times, and he's in charge of the computer systems, a Frum guy, in this Times building along the Whitestone Expressway. So he once gave me a private tour of the place, a very fascinating place. So I asked him in the tour, he says, tell me, how do the lot numbers go? Not every time somebody orders a paper, do you print an extra paper for them? How do the lot numbers go? So he says, the lot numbers go in 25s. In other words, if they need 100,001 papers, let's say, besides whatever cheshbon they have of loss, but just for that, they'll print 100,025. And up till they reach past that 25, they won't print anymore. As soon as they hit 26, they'll knock off another 25 papers. So it comes out that overwhelmingly, the chances that my particular paper is going to cause them to print extra is remote. The greatest odds, it's only 4 in 100. Chances that my paper will cause them to print another one. It's certainly mutter al pi din. So we have the same thing here. I eat two hamburgers, and Ronnie eats a hamburger. Listen, I stand before the Russian. I didn't need any treif. I followed. Ronnie says, I also didn't need any treif. So there's no point. We don't join together to be judged collectively. We'll put both of you two guys together, and now we got you. One of you ate treif. What does that have to do? One of us. Each one is a person by himself. The third view comes along and combines the two people and says, we don't want treif to be eaten by a yid. And so if I eat two and Ronnie eats one, so then we know that some yid ate treif. So we don't want a yid to eat treif. Even though we don't know which yid it is, and even though technically each one is 100% permissible. So the question is this a din? What is this? Is it a din? This is a chumra? What is this? So the Ramah says that this is a chumra ba'alma. A frumkeit. Klal Yisrael and its regish, in effect, didn't want to create a situation that even though, according to the letter of the law, we ate treif. We followed the halacha, and everything was, according to the letter of the law, permissible. But bottom line, somebody ate treif. We don't want that to happen either. That's a chumra ba'al.
Why would you say that all three should be ayah?
What?
All three should not be
ayah. No, that's... No, well, because two out of three, I have no basis to say. I have a right to say that each one that I take came from the majority. Achari Rabban Lahatis. No, so Machmer, good, so doesn't mean, listen, that's only if I'm sure that a Jew is eating treif. On two out of three, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Right? The longest one remains unconsumed, and I give it to a goy, I throw it in the garbage. So I can say, listen, no Jew is far. The halacha says, Achari Rabban Lahatis, we can assume no Jew ate treif. That's an assumption, a mathematical assumption. And the fact that the Torah follows Rove allows us to make that mathematical assumption. Even though the mathematical assumption is not necessarily the case. Because it doesn't have to be that the first two that I picked up are the kosher ones. There's nothing that forces that in being true. But I'm allowed to assume, that's the point that we follow Rove. Even though it's merely a number, a statistic, but it has a halachic bearing to the statistic has a halachic bearing. So these three views that we have, that one person can eat all three, but not simultaneously. That's number one. One person cannot eat all three, but two people, Ronnie and I, can consume the three between us. Or that we may only consume two, and one we have to get rid of or give to a non-Jew. Those three possibilities all assume that what was usher remained usher. And what's mutter is mutter, except statistically I can assume that two out of three are kosher, and that's what gives me the right to eat. Along came the Rosh, and the Rosh says we have it all wrong. All three of these views did not learn the sugya correctly. And this includes, I believe, even the Rashba learns like this, but the Rosh says they're all wrong. He says, Chad betray botnul is no different than bitl b'shishin. And just as we poured milk by mistake into the chicken soup, and the Rav Paskin is bottled with shisha, that's it, I can eat the entire chicken soup. There's no Easter anymore. So he says, similarly, when we have Acharei Rabim Lahatos, it is not only that mathematically I can assume that each hamburger I'm picking up is from the Rav, but because of that, the corollary of that assumption is that since I can assume each one is the Rav, therefore, since it's really a head to eat any of the three, therefore, the Easter loses its status as being usher, becomes mutter. So now, so my custodian left the hamburger on the table, and I left too. So what's the halacha the Rosh says? There are now three kosher hamburgers. There are no longer two kosher and one treif. There are now three kosher hamburgers on the table. So if I want to, according to the Rosh, I'm in a Rosh, so I take all three, I stack up all three hamburgers on one bun, and I'll eat them all simultaneously. It's 100% mutter. Because everything is mutter. The Issa, disappeared. Ice. No more Issa. Disappeared. Beinenu, it's gone. This is the Rosh's perspective. Now, we is not the way we paskin. Ramon paskin is like sheet number two. That one person should not eat all three. Two different people can eat all three, or one person should not eat all three. That is a corollary that comes from this too. And which really touches something we did before. What happens, let's go back to our Min B'Sha'in Amino case. I had three burgers together. Two were made of one type of meat, one of a different type of meat, but it was not obvious by any external examination, which was the kosher one, and which were the two kosher ones, and which was the treif one. And now we cooked all of them together. So the Rambam told us before that what's going to happen if we cook everything together by min b'shein amino? Ooh, now it's going to become osim d'raisa. Why? Because now I have tam. If this tam, so tam needs shishim, and if I don't have shishim, I'm up the creek. So now let's follow through to where we are now. Let's take the Rosh. According to the Rosh, is there any Yisrael? Chai B'Krei is Botel. It makes no difference if it's Min B'Mino or Min B'Sheino Mino. So if I take that standpoint, and now I cook all three of them together, what's the din? What? It's Mutter. Nothing becomes Asr. So according to that, if I follow the view of the Rosh, then there would be really no reason to be more Machmer by Min B'Sheino Mino than Min B'Mino. It would all be the same. What? The Corbett, remember, let's go back. The Rosh says, I took my two kosher hamburgers, my one trefa one, but it's a different type of burger from a different type of meat. But I can't tell from external examination which is which. And I now take them in a pot, and I put some sauce in them, and I cook all three together. But the Rosh says, what's the din? It's all mutter. Why? Even without shish. Because what happened before I started to cook? Was the tray for hamburger tray for anymore? Kosher. The tray for hamburger, very narrow, it disappeared. Now everything is kosher. If everything is kosher, so if I cook three kosher hamburgers together, how could you cook three kosher hamburgers and have something which is awesome? That would be pretty hard to do. Bosav Cholov is the one exception. I could take two things that are mutter and cook them together, and Bosav Cholov turns into Isa. But I've got to take three kosher hamburgers and cook them together, and something's going to become Isa from that. How could it be? So the Ramah concludes at the end of Siman Kuftes. There's a caveat to this, two caveats to this Rosh. Number one is that before I cooked the three hamburgers together, I have to have discovered the fact that they were mixed together. In other words, the Shaila has to have arisen at that point before I cooked them. I have to become aware of the fact that the custodian put down a hamburger here together with two of mine. Suppose I assumed before I started to cook them that the third hamburger came from one of my Talmidim, not from the custodian. I thought, I know one of my Talmidim likes hamburgers, it must be his hamburger. So then I'm warming all of them up together. Then my Talmud comes back and he says, Rebbe, I didn't have a chance to go to the hamburger store today. The first time the whole year I didn't get there. So then I ask around and I find out that the hamburger came from the custodian, not from my Talmud. So now I know it's a tray for hamburger. But I didn't know about it before I cooked it. So the halacha is that for the bittul to take place, there has to be an awareness that there's a shayla and there's a hachra in the shayla. So if I knew that there was a tray for one mixed in before, so that at that moment, since the shayla arose, there comes a psak on that shayla. And the psak is that it's mutter. But if I was not aware of it before I cooked it, a shayla that you're not aware of, there's no psak on that shayla yet. There's no psak. What's matter, in other words, what is the dynamic by which the tray for hamburger becomes kosher? Well, what makes it happen? What's the mechanism? So the mechanism is, once there's a shayla, the halacha paskens the shayla. And the hachra of that shayla, that's what makes it kosher. The fact is, a psak that they're mutter. As long as there's no psak that it's mutter, nothing changed. I still have two tray, kosher and one tray. So if I cooked them before there was any psak, so I started, I cooked two koshers and one tray. But once I became aware of the shayla before I cooked it, so once I am aware of the shayla, then there's a halacha that says what the din is at that point. And that halacha is the mechanism by which it becomes mutter. So the Ramah says that if I follow the school of thought of the Rosh, that if I was aware of it before I cooked it, and then I cooked it, it would be mutter. So he says, however, that we should only follow this psak of the Rosh, but mokum hefsed merubah, if one will suffer a great loss by it. Otherwise, one shouldn't follow this psak. So according to the Rosh, we arrive at the point that as long as I knew about the shayla, that there was confusion, one tray for hamburger mixed into two kosher hamburgers before I cooked it, that's it. The halacha paskins, everything is kosher, goodbye, and we go on from there. Now I cook it. I cooked all kosher. Everything remains kosher.
And you don't cross A, B,
The Rosh is that sheet. Exactly. The Rosh says that I'm allowed to eat all three simultaneously.
Why do we need the Psyche if Halacha is determining what the physical situation is?
Because it's not... the Halacha is not rendering a physical Psyche.
Well, I'm saying...
No, the Halacha is a Halachic decision. And the Halacha has a process by which it works. When there's a Shiloh, at that point there's a Psyche. Kol Zman, there's no Shiloh, there's no Psyche. Yes, yes. A very interesting notion. In other words, the halachic process has a the process itself has a reality to it. It is not only a mechanical happening, well, you asked and the Rav answered. No. The very fact that it's known that it is a Shiloh, that itself sets off a process. The halacha now paskins on that Shiloh. And it's the psak which renders it kosher.
It's kind of like Lomba Shemayim. In other words, it requires
something has to happen in this world, right?
We change the mitzvahs. We change the mitzvahs.
No, we change the halacha, not the mitzvahs. The halachic facts, not the physical facts. Yeah? You can take it to the laboratory and they'll run a spectrograph test on it and they'll find that, oh, it's a piece of chazal because veal, you know, registers a different light wave. But I'm not going to have a spectrograph. Right? A DNA test. If I ran the DNA test, then Ochanami would be awesome. But I would not have a chiv to run the DNA test.
But even
according
to that
chiv, yeah. Now, because if I was Mavar to Yisa, it's something else.
Well, actually, you could taste it.
What?
You could taste it.
That's something else. If I tasted it, let's say it's not everything which is a different min, can you taste the difference in between them? As I said, a professional cook may be able to taste the difference. A regular person's taste buds are not always sharp enough to pick up the subtle differences between similar items. Yeah.
And you can understand the difference in the case in which you say that you could, that two Jews could eat all three, and the case where we say it's also because they might cook them together.
Yeah, one is min bemino. The case when it's all three, that... when we're dealing that all three may be consumed, they're all the same type. They're all beef.
Okay.
So even if I cook them, what's going to happen?
It's
only going to be an Issa de Rabbanan. With the rice, it's mutter. So that's the case. We can consume all of them. The problem is, in Min B'Sha'ein Omino, that if I cook them, there'll be an Issa de rice, so there I may not even consume one. Min bimino is, no. Everyone holds min bimino is bottle. I take two dry items and mix them together. I follow the majority. The only question is how far does that heter get me? But there are basically, but there are two theories in the Rishonim, two approaches to the heter of Chad B'Tri. Whether basically it's Las Vegas, you're playing the odds, and the Torah authorized playing the odds, Achari Rab Lahatis, that we follow Rove. So we'll let it follow the odds. That's one possibility. The Rosh is a totally different possibility. It doesn't do with odds. Two out of three, Acharam Ladas tells me that I can assume that it's everything that we follow the majority rules. When majority rules, we wipe or we disregard the minority. What happens in Besdin if there are three Dayanim, two Paskin Chayev and one Potter? What's the din? Potter, Chayev, that's it. The Potter disappears. It's out. Same thing. Once it's Acharam the Roiv, the Miyah disappears. It's not because each time that I'm eating, I'm playing the roulette, and the odds are in my favor instead of in favor of the house. No, it's bittul. So we have bittul b'shisha, we have bittul b'roiv. So according to the Rosh, the bittul b'shisha that we talked about last week and the bittul b'roiv this week are akin to each other. The requirements are different, but the how it works, one is a question of flavor, one is a question of preponderance. But the process is bittul. The different requirements of each, but it's bittul. In the same way that my ounce of milk in the chicken soup is 100% mutter, one tray for hamburger mixed together with two kosher hamburgers, that's 100% mutter. And the other Rishonim, which is more than is the predominant view in halacha, accepts the view that this is radically different than the principle of bittul. This is not bittul, but rather it's the principle we say called the porosh meruba porosh. If I pick up a hamburger, what assumption do I make? Well, it came from the majority. I'm not saying there's no minority here. All I'm saying is this particular one has come from the majority. Yeah, but
so, the Rosh would say that mean Shane Pignoy private trace are right, and yet I would say, another Shane would say, you're not proper because my cooking.
Yeah. The Rosh is even further. The Rosh says, even if you do cook it, it's mutta. The Rosh goes, oh, he doesn't, the Rosh didn't flinch. Yeah. Yeah, according to the Rosh, you could cook it even lechatchila. That is a very odd halach in Simen Tzadik Ches. We'll end with this. According to the Rosh, it's easy to understand it. According to no one else, is it easy to understand. There's a psak in the Shulchan Aruch. It's based, it's a takeoff, sort of a mirror, it's a mirror image of a case in the Gemara. It's not the same case, it's the mirror image of a case in the Gemara. Suppose, for example, I had min bimino. Okay, I have my three hamburgers, and they're mixed together. Now I take those three hamburgers, and they now fall into a chicken soup, and they get cooked in a chicken soup. What's the status of the chicken soup now? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's mutter. That for some strange reason, the treif hamburger becomes bottle with the kosher hamburgers. And therefore, the she'ed omino, the chicken soup is now mutter. So everyone in the world asks, how could that be? The chicken soup has the flavoring of two kosher hamburgers and one treif hamburger. So who cares about the dynamics between the two kosher hamburgers and the treif hamburger? But flavor came out of the treif hamburger is now in the soup. So how in the world could the soup be mutter? And this is a whole tumult. The Shach says it doesn't exactly mean that. All types of pshotim and what it's supposed to mean. So the Aruch HaShulchan says he believes it's not lahalocha this din, that this din is only in keeping with the sheet of the Rosh. The Rosh said that before these two hamburgers, since they were mixed together, the treifer one is no longer treifer. So according to that, that's the reason that they don't make the non-kosher one treifer. It says according to the other shittas, it should remain also. That's the final extension of the shittas of Rosh. Okay.
Well, that's maybe it.